This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just picture Cody Mustang.
That's right. Right here. He's driving his Mustang. All I can think of with that, though, that
swerving through lanes.
This promise, all I can think of is
I'll play it on the way home, Drew. Top down, you know?
The problem with this beat is all I can ever think of for the rest of my life is Chris Vernon and the guys that do the Masters.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on at Augusta? That's all I can think of right now when this is playing.
That's a good bit, though.
It's a great bit. But the minute I heard it, I put my headphones on. I'm like, that's all I can imagine. I'm like, oh, they're going to be doing that here in a couple months at the Masters in Augusta. And they'll be like, 500. It's great. It's well done. It's a great bit from, I think it's Chris Vernon and those guys.
In Memphis, yeah.
I think he's with The Ringer now, too. But he initially was just a host in Memphis, I think is how it started. And now he does a bunch of stuff, NBA guy and everything like that. But yeah, that's what's going on at Augusta. Oh, it's so good. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're like, what the hell are
Do
you saying?
Do yourself a favor and
Google that's what's going on at Augusta or something like that, or Masters Update Vernon or something, and you'll see what we're talking about. It's well done. It goes viral every year on day one of the Masters at Augusta. Did you enter for tickets this year?
Yeah. I enter every year.
I did the lottery as well, but of course nothing. I would have known by now. I think they sent out notifications in like August or something.
Yeah, they already told me I was.
Yeah, I didn't get a
declined.
I told you I'm only selecting for the rounds. Like I don't want to go for a practice round. I know people are like, oh, you should.
I still think it's worth it to go to a practice round.
The reason why I'll never get picked is because I only select Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday for actual round. I don't select Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So I select all of them.
I've probably been in the Masters lottery for 8 to 10 years. Haven't been picked.
I've been in it for like five.
Drew, you ever?
And the second year I was in it, I was picked. That's when I went a few.
That's crazy. In year two,
I don't want to flex, but my brother being a PGA pro, I might have an in to. I don't have to do a lottery.
You should go this year.
I mean, it's up to my brother. It's not up to me.
Well then,
does he go every year? Does he go every year?
Has he been?
He's never been.
Oh, well, what else? He's a PGA pro. He can go to the Masters by choice, and he's never gone.
I mean, he's they're extremely busy during that time of the year. Like they're just starting to cool off in South Florida.
I know
around that time.
I feel like
year.
It'd be worth it just for the one.
Yeah, we've talked about
brother's
it.
Brother's trip. You know, we got to guilt him into that. We don't live in the same city anymore, bro.
We've talked more about the U.S. Open than the Masters, but Augusta would obviously be the pinnacle.
I mean, just as long as he's planning on continuing to be a PGA pro, what's his handicap? How much better is your brother than you?
Much better than me. When I was in college and he was in college as well, him and I could go toe to toe with each other at times. Now he's probably scratch. I would say he's very disappointed if he shoots 73 or worse.
I wish.
It's a bad day.
Gold's disappointed if he doesn't shoot under 113. Yeah. Different
yeah.
though.
Yeah. Damn. I just give me the golf cart to drive around on a beautiful day, please. And I'll be
today,
happy.
Today be a swamp is the only problem.
It's a car path like only.
It'd be a soup. Down there at the course.
I think so. Let's get back into the Chiefs a little bit. There was once a name that always got brought up in Chiefs kingdom, if you will, and that was DK Metcalf. One, because of the draft day where he gets drafted and they draft Mecole Hardman instead. But then the other part of this entire offseason plan was, hey, would they ever in the future want to acquire him? And DK Metcalf is 27 years old, and he's got a year left on his deal, and the financial hurdle's the issue. But James Palmer was on a podcast recently, and he was talking about the value not necessarily taking a first-round pick anymore.
And this isn't my opinion. This is just I love talking to people that know these positions so well. And one thing with DK that has come up, if you're not an elite route runner, I was always told this, if you're not an elite route runner, when you start to get up in age, it's a little bit harder to win consistently. DK is still a physical specimen and still is such a mismatch because of his size, but he's not an elite route runner. And he's not a guy that can run a million different routes in the route tree. And so some people in the league believe as age comes along, you don't stay in the league very long like that. That's happened to players that are just bigger bodied advantage type of guys. And then when push comes to shove down the road, they didn't learn how to play it another way. I don't think DK is viewed as a first round type of trade.
People would be nuts to give up a first round pick at this point in time in his career. The other issue is the financial element, $31 million cap hit. That's why for any of the speculation, maybe it's more of a social media thing about DK Metcalf, I think via the draft or otherwise, they'd be better off going other direction at this point. $31 million for DK Metcalf, and I got to give up like a third or fourth round pick? I'm good.
Yeah, this is one of those, like, if I'm interested in DK Metcalf, why don't I just find out if he's a free agent next year?
Just wait a year?
Like, maybe somebody trades for him and then offers him a contract extension and he never hits the free agent market. But with the influx of good wide receivers on the market every year, and I know this year is not a good example. This year, it's really just T. Higgins and then a bunch of Jags. Like, Hollywood Brown is one of the top five. Yeah, and like, yeah, older guys. And Stephon Diggs is 3 or 4 years probably older than 3 years maybe, than older than DK Metcalf. If I asked you, it would have to be at like a tremendous price. If I were the Chiefs, if I'm paying $30 million, it would be like a fourth or a fifth. I better just be like tossing out. I know they don't have a fifth, but like it better be like a later round.
No, there's no trade I'm doing in paying DK $30 million a year.
Well, yeah, I understand. Well, I just meant like I don't think anybody would ever pay that full cap hit. In that case, and I guess the other question is, if you're trading for him, shouldn't you just be looking to like lower that cap hit and bring him in for an extension? Well, don't you want multiple years of DK Metcalf? You're doing that. If I ask you a question, because DK Metcalf's numbers are not bad, that'd be completely misidentifying it. He's been in the league 6 years. He averages 1,000 yards a season. He has 48 career touchdowns, so he averages like 7 touchdowns a season and 1,000 yards. And he's pretty much right at that. He's had seasons of 992, 900, 967, 1,048, 1,114. You know, he's 1,000. DK Metcalf is a top blank wide receiver. What is the number that you feel confident saying? 40? 30?
Oh, I was going to say 25 to 30.
Yeah, okay.
Is where I would put him. Very good receiver. He's overvalued and overrated throughout his career because he's such an athletic freak, his size and physicality. But some of the things James Palmer mentioned, he's not in that elite category. And so at $31 million a year, I just don't have any interest whatsoever. I think now they've got Rice and Worthy. Maybe they can bring back Hollywood Brown. If you missed it, we talked to Brett Veach about Hollywood Brown. You'll hear that conversation again coming up around 1:30 or so on the show. And then just the nature of the draft right now, they're on a good track record back-to-back years drafting with wide receivers. They've hit on Rice and Worthy in back-to-back seasons. They've absolutely nailed those picks.
And if it's a one-year deal, I told you, I'm not even like banging down the door for Hollywood Brown. If it's a one-year deal, I'd rather just give it to Hollywood. It's going to be a third of the amount, and it's only going to be 1 year, and he's the same age as DK Metcalf. Okay. I mean, I know he's not as good of a wide receiver as DK Metcalf has been in his career. Their peaks are not as far off, right? Like, Hollywood Brown at his absolute best is, you know, especially over the last four seasons, is not way off from that. But, like, I get it. I'm getting lesser quality. But that's why I'm banking on to the same thing you just mentioned. I'm just banking on Rashee Rice. I'm banking on Xavier Worthy or a guy I take in the third round to pair up with that. DK doesn't feel like a need anymore. That might just be because with wide receiver, I no longer feel desperate because I think they got it right.
Sure.
So assuming Rashee Rice is on a football field this season sometime before Halloween or thereabouts, I think they already have a really good receiver unit. Travis Kelce playing tight end, doing the dirty work. Rashee Rice, who Brett Veach told us earlier, is their most talented do-everything wide receiver, which kind of burns my whole Xavier Worthy might step in. Well, look, GM can put me in my place. That's fine.
Yeah, I still think he's the number one wide receiver.
And then
Xavier
Worthy, who was incredibly effective. And then again, whatever veteran. Like, I think right now they got a really good wide receiver unit. Why am I burning picks for DK Metcalf? I know the rumor was that they were kicking around the tires on DK Metcalf. I probably bet they do that for a lot of different players. And maybe it was, yeah, it'd be a third and you're going to pay $30 million. They're like, okay, who else you got? Like,
the only way
it could have been a short
the only way it would be is, as you said, would be extending him as well. So there, you never have a $30 million cap hit on a player like that if you're Kansas City.
So I went and looked back the last five seasons, since 2020 up to this point. Again, the stats, it's stat me, so we think it's accurate, but I don't know.
It is kind of a mixed bag with him. We've joked about it on the show.
No offense to them. But he ranks 12th out of all wide receivers in terms of total yardage.
Over the last 6 years?
Over the last 5 years.
That's not surprising.
Granted, again, game sample size is interesting because Jamar Chase has one more yard than him, but Jamar Chase has 19 less. He's over a season less games than DK has played. He's in the range of Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore, a little bit. He's about 1,000 yards less than CeeDee Lamb, who has the same amount of games. So hit or miss, he's top 20.
For what it's worth, like, there is something to, like, just having a wide receiver. And I'll give DK Metcalf, he misses a little bit. Like, he's available. Like, there's value in available.
For the most part, he is, yeah.
The reason why he has 1,000 yards every year is because he plays. Like, all the guys you mentioned, like, I don't think he's the 12th best wide receiver just because he has the 12th most yards. But he is available.
Right.
So he is on the field than some of those other players.
Definitely not a top 10 or 12 receiver in my mind.
I mean, you would take Malik Nabers 30. Over him in a heartbeat, for sure. And Malik Nabers has one full season. So
I don't remember which wide receiver I got in trouble with. And I was
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. That's what it was.
He has more yards than him.
I had said Keenan Allen is not a top 20 wide receiver. And then
like,
I had
was that 2 years ago? Was that like 2 years ago?
I tried to name 19 wide receivers that were better than him.
We made him name 19, and
it was tough.
Rough.
I was starting to – it was getting a little rocky at
this
the
was
end.
Also 2 years ago before he was still in LA.
Well, now I wouldn't even have any trouble.
Then also you need to name 30 that are better than him, basically, or 40 that are better than him. I think he's fallen way off. You mentioned Jamar Chase. That's the reason why I'm going to bring this up. I wasn't planning on talking Cincinnati today, but did you know that WWE Raw or whatever was in Cincy last night, Drew?
I don't watch that, so no, I didn't.
I did not know. I was sent this. I came across the timeline.
You guys this waste was,
this
talent.
Was, this is Logan Paul.
Oh.
You guys waste talent. Just look at what you did to Joe Burrow.
Oh. Playing a classic heel, you know?
Uh-huh. I mean, wasting talent.
Look what
would
you've
be...
done to Joe Burrow.
I would say they have wasted
you did to Joe Burrow.
I think the jury's still out on that because he hasn't had a, in terms of complete team, his best team.
That's the point. They're wasting his talent by not putting a complete team around him.
You guys waste talent. Just look at what you did to Joe Burrow. Oh.
He's kind of saying that like...
Joe Burrow.
That Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's why I think
he's
I like the clip.
I like it.
That's why I like the clip. It definitely has that. I think it's a very popular thing to hate Joe Burrow for whatever reason. Everybody thinks that he looks smug.
Kind
you
of
know.
A punch
oh, he's definitely arrogant and smug,
I mean, look,
yeah.
He's a very... As far as we're concerned, he is a very nice dude. There's nothing that he does, unless you're just hating on him, that makes him a bad person.
No, I don't think Logan Paul person. Wasn't hating on Joe Burrow. He's hating on your franchise.
Oh,
he's not
I'm
hating on Joe
about
Burrow.
Everybody else. It's fun to make fun of Joe Burrow right now.
I don't think people are making fun of Joe Burrow.
They are. There's
I wasn't.
A lot of people.
There, I was making fun of the Bengals organization.
They're making fun of Joe Burrow.
Oh, definitely the franchise. Definitely
he's
the franchise.
He's got a punchable face. He looks like Macaulay Culkin, yada, yada, yada. It's
well, Macaulay Culkin, that's just what he looks like. I mean, it is what it is, you know?
I do think, like, I mean,
he's been home alone a lot during the playoffs. It is true.
I genuinely think they are wasting Joe Burrow's talent. He is one of the five best quarterbacks in the league, and by all accounts, based on the other four guys or three guys he'd be in the competition with, has accomplished the least. No MVPs. No, you know, he went to like one, he won one game more in one playoff circumstance, but I think that that's counteracted by the fact that he's missed the playoffs multiple times.
I mean, he's 5-2 in the playoffs. I mean, he's only.
I know, but he's missed twice. Like, that's the biggest issue. It's like, I don't think Cincinnati is equipped as an organization.
He's accomplished more than. He's accomplished more than Josh Allen.
I don't think so.
Minus the MVP. He's accomplished more than Josh Allen.
I don't think so. Josh Allen's been in the playoffs all 5 years,
and he's lost to Joe Burrow. He's lost to Joe Burrow. He's never beaten Joe Burrow in his career. Josh Allen.
Joe Burrow.
You smoking on the Joe Burrow.
I'm smoking on the Joe Burrow.
I just kind
of
outside.
I just think, you know, and maybe I come across as a Josh Allen like hater over things that I've said over the course of the last couple times where I was like, hey, the Chiefs have no problem. They're facing the Bills, and they beat them.
I guess sometimes I think we overvalue one win in one circumstance more than the aggregate.
I mean, I think
like
that's
in your
fair.
Case, you know, people try to tell me Joe Burrow's accomplished more because he won one singular more game in a playoff run while not accounting for the fact that Josh Allen has won his division 5 years ago. in a row, has won an MVP, been in the playoffs every single year.
Josh Allen has had more help than anybody else in terms of
we don't need to go way down the road.
We're talking accomplishment.
Before the season, I had him at number two. I still have him at number two. Mahomes is one. Josh Allen is two. Joe Burrow is three. Lamar is four. That's how I have my QB rankings.
You guys waste talent.
I think it's true. You also have to admit that Joe Burrow, with less talent, much less talent, made a Super Bowl before Josh Allen did and beat Josh Allen with that same team that had less talent.
He has two top 25 wide receivers. It must be real tough out there on the streets.
Well, to your point that you made an hour ago, you'd rather have a good offensive line and a really good defense than more weapons. So the Bengals,
not good at that. I will give you that.
Correct, but that means that he's overcoming more problems than a top five defense. I think he's overcoming top five offensive line.
Yeah, the defense, I'll always give you the argument for. Bills have had a very good defense this entire time. They're just lying on the internet about how big it was.
You had two drops today, Cody. As a matter of fact,
you did. Yeah, you had a couple. All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Gold had something in there earlier. I thought maybe we were going to make that the random question he was going to take over. But I'll take it today. Maybe you'll have one for tomorrow about whether or not we're interested in participating in things over on TikTok and what's been taking place over there. But the question I have for you today is, there is a proposal in the state of Kansas that would allow people to obtain ownership permits to have a raccoon kept as a pet in their house.
Oh, jeez.
The question I have for you today is, one, have you ever owned an exotic pet? Text line. Or do you think people should be allowed to own things like raccoons in their house?
No.
You said that so fast. Why can't they have a raccoon, you know?
Because it's a wild animal. You know, they're unpredictable. They can be dangerous. You don't know what they have. Aggressive animals. They can bite people. You got kids around. Don't have, like, all that.
Well, I mean, you don't have to bring your kids to the house with a raccoon pet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a choice, you know? What if they could have it, but
what
if they don't
have it? What states have this legal? Is it legal in Missouri?
I don't know. I was looking up obscure laws in states the other day. Missouri's most obscure law is that you can't ride with an uncaged bear in your car. Caged, fine. An uncaged bear, you're not allowed to. I don't know if Missouri allows you to own a raccoon. Seems unlikely. But they would like
to. Here you go. Here's the states.
Wait, there
not
are
Missouri.
States?
Yeah. It is legal to own a pet raccoon in Arkansas. Of course. Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Nebraska, New Jersey, Ohio, Oklahoma. I can go on and
on. This is a lot of states.
Wisconsin, West Virginia, Wyoming.
So why do all these states get these freedoms, but the state of Kansas doesn't get the freedom to own?
Why is weed legal in Missouri and not Kansas? Why has sports betting been legal in Kansas and not Missouri? Individual states' rights, you know?
Yeah, that's important to you.
Until it's not.
You would like people in Kansas not to be able to own a raccoon.
Correct.
Do you ever own like a ferret or any of these other like ferrets are filthy. I can't believe any of you.
I never had any of that stuff. Like, you know, people grew up, you know, you'd have friends that would have like the hamsters or whatever. No, nope.
We had a hamster or two growing up. They died.
The craziest thing we ever had in the house for a little while. I have two sisters. You guys know this. And one of my sisters through her, I guess it was maybe junior high or high school. They had to take home and take care of a pet chicken, like a little tiny chick.
Like a baby chick.
And this thing, this is still a joke in our family to this day. Basically, one, obviously, like, you know, you had to have the heat lamp on and everything like this. But it was kept in their room. And they shared a room both my sisters shared a room at the time. And one night, the chick got out of the cage somehow. And so this thing is just going all, like, chaos ensued. Chaos ensued. So now, like, that never again, like, as we were living.
Your parents are not taking any other animal chances, huh?
Nope.
My kid has tried since he pet a bearded dragon on vacation. He is interested in like owning but he just wants a cat. Let's get him a cat first.
Dragon?
Yeah, it's just, you know, people like having like lizards. They mostly stay in the cage and get them out a little bit, but you know.
The only thing other than a dog, which is a normal animal, I had a couple pet fish as a kid.
Okay. Definitely had fish.
I had like a neon tetra and an angel fish.
Oh wow.
That might have lasted for like a year and then I was done.
My stepmom for a while
they died,
and my stepbrothers in our house had some bunnies. So we had some rabbits in the house that were kept in cages. So that's probably the most exotic animal we had. I mean, that's not that exotic.
Drew, you strike me as someone that would have had like a snake and you would have had all these cool exotic animals around.
Absolutely not. We didn't have any animals in the house until I was in eighth grade when we got the puppy.
We had animals. Oh, it's still alive?
No, she passed away in July, unfortunately.
Damn, July?
Cody.
I wanted to know if it was eighth grade, it was possible it was still living.
Gold, do you want
I was excited about his life continuing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want to make it worse? So I was on vacation in the Outer Banks. I got on my drive home. I'm about a half hour out. My parents, who had gotten home ahead of me, we have a doggy door. She unfortunately went outside, and that was where that was her final spot. So got home and
hold on. You were in the Outer Banks with your family, right? You left the dog by itself at home.
She has a doggy door, and we have people who come by feed her every morning and every night. So they would take care of her.
That sucks.
Yeah. So that was how we. She was already old. It was old age. She was going on 14, which for a lab is
trying to make me feel bad because your pet died. You're not winning dead pet stories on this show. Mine's the worst. On this show, we were driving home from Colorado, Drew.
It's a competition, huh?
When my dad decided to tell us that him and my mom were getting a divorce. And in one sentence, he said, your mom and I are getting a divorce. She's living with another man and your dog died. Only to come home that the dog had died on my bed and it's got, you know, like the stains were all still right there. They hadn't cleaned up.
All right.
I'm not going to feel bad about anyone's pet dying on this show. I do feel bad for your dog. 14-year-old is pretty long for a lab.
For a lab, yeah. It's beyond the life expectancy. I think it's like 11 to 13, but yes, Cody. Nobody has you beat with that. I am sorry for that. That is
classic. Tap
said, "Wait, Drew. So somebody stole your spot on the beach, and you lost your dog all at the same time. That is so
tough trip.
Sad.
We weren't again. The whole spot on the beach story.
People are saying you left the dog by itself, man. It's all. People are blaming you.
No.
Come on. It's an old dog. It can't be. People were watching it. I just watched my like friend's cat. We went over there and fed.
That genuinely is like the first time that I have probably cried in a long time.
Yeah, man. Pets are incredible, and I dread that day. My dog's like 11 and a half now. I dread that.
Yeah, tons of time left.
You never know, man. I don't know.
What size is your dog's like 40 30, pounds?
38 pounds. Yeah, 35, okay. 35, 40
That's
pounds.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
similar size as mine.
11 and a half. Could be 5 years. Could be two. You don't know.
Could be 10.
No, I can promise you she's not going to be 20-something years old. When's the last time you saw a dog that was 22?
My wife, one of their pet animals, was like
a dog?
19 or 20 dog.
Dog at 20?
It was like 20.
That's insane.
Rascal was blind and couldn't hear
anything. Oh, that is okay.
But lived to be 20, you know? Had a
text
run.
Lines, what the F is wrong with you, Cody, with these stories? Someone says that explains so much.
Somebody says that they could beat you, Cody. I don't know if...
What?
All right. They also spelled your name in
text.
Speaking of exotic pets, they spelled your name in an exotic
Cody.
Way.
Cody.
K-O-D-E-E. Never seen Cody.
Maybe that's what
that
you
way.
Should do.
You can hide a beach a lot with it spelled that way. You just got to be like a certain person, you know?
Yeah, you definitely got to live in Costa Rica or something.
I got a puka shell necklace back.
Go live in Costa Rica, you know, or at least go to San Diego and just start becoming a surfer or something. Something like that. All right, up next, we will get a quick what's trending in. And if you missed it, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach, joined us live out in Indianapolis. We'll play some of that again for you. He gave us a pretty clear answer on Travis Kelce's future, along with how they envision Kingsley Suamataia as well. That's coming up next.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, while the Royals continue spring training today, Seth Lugo makes his 2025 spring training debut. That game today is over on our sister station, 1660.
Always love seeing some Royals baseball. Michael Massey making his debut in left field as well. It's him and Jonathan India continue to try out those positions to get more playing time. Next up on What's Trending, Diana Russini says the Chiefs are going to make it a top priority to try to keep guard Trey Smith. Brett Veach, you'll hear from in just a little bit. We'll talk about Trey Smith as well. We'll see whether or not they can afford it, but all the rumblings are they'd like to keep Trey Smith, and now maybe that new cap flexibility based on it being higher than what they thought makes it more plausible. But yeah, the Chiefs are not out of the Trey Smith game just yet.
Elsewhere, college basketball, KU, a late one last night. Did not start till 10 o'clock our time.
Did you watch any of it? So late.
Like 5 to 7 minutes of it. I was in bed, and I'm like, I was not staying up till midnight to watch Kansas. But they got the win, 71-64 against Colorado. Hunter Dickinson, 32-13. Yeah, it was a heck of a game from him. Missouri, they're against South Carolina tonight at 8 o'clock.
Need a bounce-back game after that bad loss over the weekend that we thought pushed him off of the three line. Get back on track, beat South Carolina tonight. No overall loss. Next up on What's Trending, Sporting Kansas City CONCACAF Champions Cup. Leg two tonight against Inter Miami. Miami's up 1-0 on the aggregate scoring. I think aggregate scoring is so dumb.
It's a soccer thing, though.
In soccer, but they like it and it's their thing, so I'm not here to like bag the way your sport typically works. But they'll take on Inter Miami. Last game, it was like close back and forth the entire time. And then Messi, being the best player on the pitch, per usual in his career, ended up being the difference, and we'll see whether or not that factors in tonight.
Is it like a 70-degree temperature swing from the one last week?
I mean, it was like negative a billion the last time they played, so yeah, probably.
Elsewhere, announcement today, the basketball tournament, TBT announced Kansas City as a region for the 64-team $1 million winner-take-all event, July 18th through the 23rd, but they're going to play this thing at Muni.
Muni? What? Yeah. Municipal?
I don't know if T-Mobile was UKC booked up or what.
UKC moved off of Municipal. Yeah. What, but like Cable Dahmer or one of the other ones out there, like the Independence Event Center? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Municipal.
I don't know if it was a availability thing or cost thing, but at the Muni, it holds a little over 10,000. So.
I mean, I don't know. If I had a free ticket to it, I might check it out, but outside of that, we'll see. Next up on What's Trending, according to Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill had surgery to fix a ligament issue with his wrist and will be out most of the offseason, according to their head coach. So another injury for Tyreek. He's had a lot of little ones that all add up where it just feels like his body's kind of taking a beating. Maybe it's the size or the way that he plays. He's had a lot of little injuries that all like lead to surgeries, it seems like.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We mentioned earlier today, Andy Reid and Brett Veach both had their media availability. We also had Brett Veach, the general manager of the Chiefs, call into the show as it is Combine Week in Indy, trying to figure out not only the draft situation, but ultimately meeting with agents to try to find out the future for Trey Smith, for Travis Kelce. And that's kind of where we started our conversation and whether or not anything really changes year to year in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's the same go around as every year. It's a lot of craziness to begin with, and we'll have a chance to get with our players' agents over the next few days, and then we'll kind of get right into the college aspect and getting to see the players work out and interview them. So it's exciting. I'm glad it's a few weeks after the Super Bowl because, as you guys know, I probably wouldn't want to be here right after that game. But now that I've flushed out of the system, excited again and looking forward to 2025 season, and it starts here with this offseason.
I think one of the biggest questions on Chiefs fans' minds are obviously regards to the future of Travis Kelce. Have you guys been in touch? How does that process work, and do you have a sense of where that's leaning in terms of his retirement or not retiring?
Yeah, that's been the number one question here. And look, I think the way we're handling this is, you know, in terms of deadlines, I've been hearing that a lot. I don't think there's a deadline with a guy like Travis. You know, his communication with us after the season is that he was playing and we look forward to having him back next season. If something does transpire in the next few months where something other than him playing pops up, then, you know, we'll deal with it. But I would say that where we sit right now, that Travis will be back next year. And again, looking forward to having him back.
So can you have him back under the current contract as far as like, does it make business sense for you guys, or will you guys look to do something different with Travis's contract in order to make that fit better for the cap?
I think we're prepared to have him as is, and I think this is something that, you know, we've been going back and forth over the last, I guess we've had two and a half weeks now since the Super Bowl, and we've kind of gone through different scenarios, and we have different ways of creating space, but, you know, as far as Travis's contract, I think you know, we're prepared to have it as is, and we'll work around it and see how it goes. But we have a few different plans. And again, this all will depend on the players and their availability and who we're able to get in free agency. But I think we have different sources to create room and kind of operate. And I think our goal is to just put ourselves in a position when the draft does come around that we can just sit there and stay true to the board and pick the best player available. And it'll be a unique challenge like every offseason. And this is why the NFL is so great. And our challenge is we have a lot of high-priced players and a lot of players that are number one in their position. And then, you know, we pick so far in the draft. So and we've been doing that for a few years, which is a good thing. But it's also makes it challenging every offseason show up some of those weekends. So, look, we have a couple different scenarios that we'll run through. But as far as the long-winded answer to your question about Travis, I think, you know, we'll carry him as is, and we have some different opportunities to create space with some different players.
I guess between that and the rumors that you guys are interested in bringing back Trey Smith, does the cap number going up as much as it did have a bigger impact on that? As in, like, well, it's a lot easier to carry Travis's number if the cap's going to go up that amount.
Well, I mean, listen, I think that was certainly helpful, right? You know, all offseason, Clark does a good job of giving us a number to work with, or I should say every summer as we go into a year. We typically play on the conservative side. So I would say that in all of our models, in the weeks leading to that announcement, we were working off a 270 model. And so having that, I guess it's 277, one that can get up to 280, was certainly a plus, and it will certainly help us in our pursuit of retaining our players. And as you mentioned, Cody, Trey would be at the top of that list, I'm sure.
We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach, here on Cody and Gold. We look back, and after that Bucs Super Bowl, everybody noticed there was a huge shift in how you guys approached that offseason, revamping the offensive line. Seeing how things went in the Super Bowl, there's an expectation, I think, or thought from some fans out there that, all right, what's the big shift, if there is one, to kind of address that again this go-around? Should that be something that Chiefs fans expect? It seems like you've always had a big move after maybe a loss like this.
Yeah, I think every offseason, I think when we just take a step back, and I would say most teams operate in a similar fashion. I think, you know, your first box you have to check is getting a quarterback, and certainly we're blessed that we have the best of the best there. And I think, you know, if you look back of what we've done over the years, I think it's always going to be offensive line and defensive line. And this goes back to, you know, signing Joe Tooney when he's a free agent, going after Trent Williams, getting Orlando Brown, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, even Mike Dana last year. I think we always are going to exhaust our resources on the fronts, and this will be no different. The Tampa Bay one was a little different in the fact that I think we kind of needed an entire offensive line. You know, I think more recently it's been just trying to get that left tackle position settled. But needless to say, I mean, that's a priority for us, and the defensive line will be a priority for us. And I think that's kind of how we always operate it here. And it just gets more challenging the longer you go on and are winning, just because the resources are less in both money and you know, where you pick. So that's where the big challenges are. But looking forward to getting after it and hopefully come up with something creative and you know, solidifying both sides of the football there.
When you look at what the Hollywood Brown offered you guys last year, I think you'd mentioned in your press availability some interest in bringing him back. What would be appealing in bringing Hollywood Brown back, and what does he add to the offense if you're able to do something with him?
Well, yeah, certainly. And I think we were all excited. Never got to see what we wanted to see in early on in our time at St. Joe's, just the trio of Hollywood, Rasheed, and Xavier. And we were kind of hoping they would grow into a dominant trio there. And Xavier did his part, and he came on strong at the end, much like Rasheed did. But unfortunately, we never really got to see all three of those guys out there. And we did get Hollywood back late in the season, and Xavier did take that step up. But, you know, the reality of it is, and hopefully he's healthy, Rasheed's our most gifted guy in terms of, I mean, he has a complete skill set. You know, he has more vertical ability than people think, but he's such a dominant player in that intermediate game. He's almost like a running back. And so if you added him with Xavier and Hollywood, you really get, you know, the entire skill set that you're looking for in regards to long game, intermediate game, and then the short game. And all three of those guys had elements of doing each one. Now, each guy does something a little bit different and unique, but certainly, you know, it'd be great to get Hollywood back here, and you know, we'll have communication with him. I mean, he actually has the same agent as Trey, so that will be a good conversation to have. And but I think if we can get those three guys back, that would be something that we'd be interested in, and hopefully we get to see all the things that we were excited about and Chiefs fans were excited about that never really came to be just because of the injury situation. But getting Rasheed back and getting both those guys back, and then, as you mentioned, having Xavier take that step up late in the season, I think, you know, it would be a pretty cool trio to have.
Brett, you mentioned Rasheed Rice there. Any indication on, and I don't know if you've had any conversations with the league on where that could be heading from, of course, availability or legal standpoint in terms of last offseason?
Yeah, I mean, We haven't, and as I mean, the league's pretty consistent in how they handle this, and once it goes through the court system, which I'm sure it will at some point, they'll come in and they'll be in communication with us, and we'll deal with that, you know, when that time comes. I think on the positive side, you know, he had a really scary injury last year. The good news for us is that the ACL was intact, and that was really the best of a worst case scenario, right? And I've got to see him now the last few months, and even prior to the Super Bowl, he was in the facility, and he's probably ahead of where he needs to be in regards to the rehab. So I don't know if we'll see him in the off season, but I think our trainers feel really good about him, you know, starting camp and getting up to speed, and then whatever happens on the league side, we'll deal with. But we're certainly super positive about the health progress.
Speaking to Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach here on Cody and Gold, I know that like everyone's going to ask you about tackle and how to kind of solve that. I guess just from like a bigger picture perspective, can you find as an organization a long-term left tackle without moving up in a draft?
Well, I think it's like any position. I mean, there's always guys that you hit on late and that become really good players. I mean, Trey Smith was unique because of the health situation, and we got him in the sixth, but we've gotten guys like Legarius Sneed late and Isaiah Pacheco late. I mean, so yeah, I mean, there's always guys that I think over the years that get picked in the mid rounds or late rounds that go on to develop and have a great career. And again, I don't think we'll be scared to throw numbers at this. And I think the one thing that we want to do, if at all possible, is, you know, what we work hard to put that board in place. And when we have a guy and we feel like, again, if we're picking at 31 or if we move up and pick a little higher, I mean, we want to be excited about a guy that like Xavier last year that we know can come in and play and produce right away. And ideally that would be at the left tackle. Sometimes the numbers don't work out the way you want them to, but there will be opportunities to draft and develop guys, and our coaching staff has done a great job of that on both sides of the football. So there's always guys in different pockets that we like and feel have upside. So again, I think that would probably go back to just throwing numbers at that position and feeling good about a prospect, whether that is a guy that if we're able to get one in the first round, plug in and play, or if we get a guy, feel good about the long-term upside.
How much of this offseason will be still trying to prep Kingsley Suamataia to maybe develop at left tackle?
I think that's a possibility. I do think that the coaches were really encouraged about his guard play. He had one game in there, but this is something that the public can't see, but in the practices leading up to the Super Bowl and the playoffs, I think you kind of saw the light turn on there. And in our individual and group work, you know, one of the things in our exit meeting that I talked to Coach Heck about was, I mean, he was really excited about the potential for Kingsley taking a next step up in his quality of play next year, but he thought he had a really, really big upside at guard too. So I think we'll have some flexibility with him. Not going to roll anything out with any of these guys in regards to position flex, but you know, he's a guy that potentially could transition to guard and be a long-term solution at guard.
Last one for you, Brett, then we'll let you go. We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach. Running back, we know this past year you had the injury, of course, with Pacheco. You guys were able to bring back in Kareem Hunt, and he provided you guys quite a bit throughout the season. Do you feel overall, though, as you head into next year, do you need to get more explosive at that position?
I think anytime you can get more, even at receiver, you know, if you have a chance to add a player that adds an explosive element to the game, I think you're always going to be interested in. And, you know, the running back position was unique last year with the injury and then Kareem coming in here and giving us a really big boost middle of the season. But the good thing is I think this draft is really, you know, the one position on the offensive side that I think it's deep is at the running back position. I think when you look at this draft board right now, I think defensive end is very deep and talented. Defensive tackle is deep and talented. I think the corners are above average in regards to numbers. Same thing with linebackers, probably a little lower than you want to be on the offensive line. And at quarterback, we don't have to worry about quarterback, which is a good thing. But the running back is good. I think it's much deeper than last year. So I think we'll have a chance to, as you mentioned, add potentially another dynamic element there out of the backfield.
Brett, really appreciate the time. We'll let you get back to it there in Indianapolis. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yep, you bet, guys. Thanks.
So that was Brett Veach a little bit earlier today from Indy. A lot was addressed, I think, right at the front. If you were worried about Travis Kelce's future in Kansas City, I don't know how you don't feel good. I mean, that is about
as coming back
clear as you'll hear. It's one thing to say it before the Super Bowl happens, before the blowout happens, before Travis Kelce had his comments. But to hear it now, multiple weeks removed from the Super Bowl, they are fully expecting Travis Kelce back. They also are, sounds like, okay with the $19 million cap hit. They feel there's other areas
That's
that they
surprising.
Can move some numbers around to make it work going forward.
I guess that's good news, because that kind of debunks the whole, they're in cap hell, they'll never make it, they're screwed. Because if you are, then you figure out a way to maneuver Travis Kelce's number, make it a void year. That's the easiest number in your entire salary cap docket. But I get it, because if you think that this is the last ride, that this is Travis Kelce's last time stepping on a football season or field for a full season for you, if you can just pay him the $19 million and then he's off the books, massive savings versus having to pay some now and some later when he's not even contributing to the team. And you and I both know that has not really been what Brett Veach has done a huge chunk of the time. A lot of these teams continue to add these void years. You were just talking about DK Metcalf. He's got a void year. So it won't be a Seattle Seahawk next year, hypothetically, but they'll still be paying him $7 million to not even be a member of the team. Veach doesn't like to do that. He likes to spend his money as he has a chance to do it. But yeah, I mean, that's a 99.9% chance Travis Kelce's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And at least 50-50, they're just going to pay the $19 million. They might change their mind, right? And be like, well, you know what, in order to get this player, we kind of need to move Travis's number. But they said they're comfortable paying him $19 million.
Yeah, and there's no deadline. You know, we've referenced some reports that, oh, they told him they need to know by blank. Clearly, no. No, I mean, he'll probably announce before the league year anyway, but like,
yeah, I would guess.
We don't need even an announcement anymore as far as I'm concerned. It'd be a complete stunner at this point now after what I just heard from Brett Veach.
I think so too. Yeah, it would be a stunning turn of events in which, you know, I would think like something in your life would have to change. Right.
Yeah, or he gets an unbelievable opportunity away from, like, another unbelievable opportunity.
Someone's
away
like, we're
going
to let you host, we're going to let you take over for Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show, but you got to retire now.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take a serious life event, in my opinion, in order for his opinion to be changed based on what obviously everyone is saying. And this is everyone saying it, but when the general manager says, we're planning on Travis Kelce being back and he's planning on being here, I don't think you really need to hear anything else. I know all the rumors were already going that way and have been going that way.
Right.
For a couple of weeks, but I mean, he said it in pretty much no uncertain terms.
That's right. Reminder, Andy Reid is going to join CDOT on the Drive coming up right at the beginning of their show. So be sure to listen to the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, who I'm sure they'll ask some more final thoughts about the Super Bowl and how that went. And also if he's had any conversations with Travis Kelce post Super Bowl about kind of how to approach that.
I can't blame him. I almost asked to follow up and I was like, it's not worth it. Cause when he's like, I needed to get away because like, I didn't want to ever think like essentially just like that game sucked. And I was in a bad mood and I needed to like not be in a bad mood anymore. You're like, this keeps me busy. I got other things to focus on and to try to win. I almost had the follow up be like, how long did it take for you to just like wash that one down the drain or try not to think about it? I'm sure it's like Tom Brady's talked about it. I'm sure it's like you'll always remember the losses more than the wins. I'll still say the same thing about the Tampa Bay one. It's easier to just like be free of it in a lot of ways when it's just like an ass kicking. There's not like some second
guessing. Well, and they also won two since then.
Yeah.
So the question I think
for this
Eagles one and this loss will be is it three-peat, but how quickly do they get back to a Super Bowl and or win one now? Is it next year? Is it 4 years from now? That I think, because
how quickly you can wash it away.
I don't think will be the case, but let's say we're sitting here 4 years from now and they haven't gotten back to a Super Bowl. That Eagles loss is going to sting even more. They get back next year and they win it, then I don't really care as much about what happened. But if it's 4 years and they haven't gotten back to one, then that Eagles one is going to feel way worse.
Especially, I think the only thing is like this one hurts worse than the Tampa Bay one because of the three-peat.
Of course.
I mean, that one was just like and it was back to back, and so it felt painful at the time, but they then won two in a row at different times, so they went back to back. Like, the retrospect is obviously the key to all that one hurt at the time, but like, it is easier to flush it, I feel like, if you just get like your teeth kicked in. If you made some like fourth quarter decision,
look at the Niners last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Overtime loss on a walk-off touchdown. That
hurts forever. Maybe. Did they miss the playoffs this year, didn't they?
The Niners? Oh, yeah.
They weren't even close.
They had injury after injury after injury, man. McCaffrey, to start the season, never really played, and then they just weren't good. They just weren't good. Debo's now going to maybe get traded. You saw that?
I'm more interested in him than DK Metcalf.
I don't know.
I said more interested. I didn't say like I'm, you know.
Debo's put on weight reportedly. I don't know. I don't know if Debo.
New tight end. Problem solved.
Joke. Yeah, he can be the backup tight end to Noah Gray as well while we're at it. Yeah, and he can also be the running back, the more explosive running back for this team.
With Travis coming back, this is like a really small thing, but with Travis coming back and Noah Gray at tight end, it's a really deep reported tight end draft. Do you still take one? Like you took Jared Wiley last year? Like if it's a fourth round and there's a guy you really like, do you take a tight end still?
No, because I have Kelsey, Gray, and Wiley, and then I have another one. I'm keeping four tight ends.
Well, I mean, in that case, you're just washing your hands of Wiley, who was a fourth-round pick last year.
So, to answer your question, no, I don't think so. I'm waiting another year to really address the long-term answer there.
I'm hoping. I found my long-term answer at left tackle, and I get to go take my Laporta the next year. Like, maybe that becomes, like, a surprising first-round pick in which there's a star guy worth getting there. And you just, like, I don't know, continue to be the franchise with the league's best tight ends. It is crazy that the Chiefs have had two of the three, arguably, greatest tight ends of all time in their franchise.
So a few random guys in between, but it didn't take them long. You know, they had the Brad Cottoms and the Moiakis for a little while. But yes, it's...
Those are both like third-round picks, too, man. They tried. They were trying to find it again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thanks again to Brett Veach for joining us. Thanks again to Jack Caglione, the Royals' top prospect, who called in earlier today. Both those interviews will be podcasted up on the Odyssey app and, of course, the 96.5 The Fan website. Tomorrow, we'll check in again with Vern. Also, Cody's going to tell us about being a professor. He's got something new for us tomorrow. I don't even know what it is, but tomorrow we will talk about that, and we'll also check in to see how Seth Lugo looked today. That's coming up tomorrow, but up next, CDOT and The Drive, including an interview with Andy Reid next here on 96.5 The Fan.